Welcome to the Covenant Community Church podcast. We hope that this teaching will bless you. Share with us how God is moving in your life and how this message impacts you by emailing us at media@covenantcc.net. Are you ready? It's time for the Word.
Days when we need to talk about being a body together, and there's certain things that we need to do that the Lord has laid on my heart. Lamentations chapter 3 verse 31. I have some things from the Lord to speak to you today. In Lamentations chapter 3 verse 31 through 33, it says something very important to all of us here today. It says, no one is abandoned by the God, the Lord forever, though he brings grief. That's a troubling passage. It's not a passage we like to talk about. But it goes on to say, he also shows compassion because of the greatness of his unfailing love, that his love never fails us, even in tough times. For he does not enjoy hurting people. I want that to burn in your conscience, that God does not enjoy hurting people. And I am not here to defend him, even though I am his lawyer on this earth, as he is mine in heaven. For he does not enjoy hurting people or causing them sorrow. Now would you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 3 through 4 and let me explain to you what you need to do this week. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verses 3 through 4 it says, praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles, so that we can comfort those in trouble with the comforting love we ourselves have received from God. Let me ask you a few couple of questions before I get to the next thing I know the Lord wants me to lead us in our congregation with this week. How many of you have ever lost someone? Let me see your hands. How many of you received any type of comfort from the Lord during those times? May I see your hands again? It is now time for you to take those hands and comfort those that mourn, because a hand comforted you when you mourned. It reminds me of a poem, and I want to read it to you. It's a beautiful poem that is troubling. Are you ready? I stood before God as a beggar, before his royal throne, and I begged him for a precious gift, which I could call my own. I took the gift from his hand, but as I would depart, I cried, Lord, this gift is but a thorn, and it has pierced my very heart. Lord, this is a strange and a hurtful gift you've given me. He said, my child, I have good gifts, and I give my best to thee. I took it home, and I thought at first, this cruel thorn hurt. As long years passed, at last, to love it more and more, I learned. I learned he never gives a thorn without his added grace. He takes the thorn to pin aside the veil which hides his face. Martha Nicholson wrote that. And sometimes when we ask God for gifts and he gives us a thorn, we don't understand. Number one, I want this congregation to know something. In the midst of almost 7 deaths within 5 days, we're at 4 right now. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 26, go there with me, that we have a responsibility as a body to suffer together. It may seem like you think, and we can get to the place where church is where we're supposed to live on a high every day. But let me assure each and every one of you that we're more the church right now than we've ever been all month. Because the church is not one person, but it's many. Someone say amen. 1 Corinthians 12 and 26 says, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 3 says, suffer together with me as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Listen, words are useless right now. People say some of the dumbest things at funerals. They say things like, well, you have 2 other sons. The truth is, words are useless, but what can we do this week is we can offer our presence. It is time to weep with those that weep. It is time to bake a cake. It is time to do acts of kindness and what the Holy Spirit leads on your heart. You may not even know them, but your presence at a funeral this week will tell them that they are the church and we are the church together. We are covenant community. You see, Galatians 6 at 2 says, share after each other's burdens. And even as a pastor, I've cried more in the last 48 hours than I've cried all month. I have sat and I've watched someone I love that grew up, that I admired, pass from this world to the other with worship music. I've said, and I'm very careful, and I've got to be careful with what I'm about to say, because there's one thing you can never say about your pastor, that I run my trap. Because I don't tell things I'm not supposed to tell. But I get to see things that no one else gets to see. And I get to be in people, with people during the most vulnerable places. And I was in a funeral home, or in the room in the hospital this week when Whitney passed away. And Whitney's body's laying on the table with Danny's son right there. And I saw something that increased my faith more than I've ever had my faith increase, when I watched Danny and Whitney's mother and father lift their hands and say, God, we love you. We praise you. We don't understand, but we give you honor today. And I thought to myself, that's faith. That's the kind of faith that we all want, but no one wants to pay the price for. I've watched them cry uncontrollably. I've watched Ronnie get up yesterday morning and say, I'm going home today. I said, you are? He said, yeah, today's the day. I thought, the cancer's reaching his brain. I've watched Junior Duncan reach out into the room like something was in the room. I felt the presence of God in the midst of death. And I'm here to tell you that no matter what you go through, there is a God that is a very present help in time of need. I've seen the miraculous nature of God's presence, but it is your hands that he needs now. I want you to understand a second thing, and that is, we don't grieve like the rest of this world. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 with me. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, I want to read you something. And it's important that you understand this today at this church. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, it says, we do not want you to be ignorant, uninformed, which means I'm about to present new knowledge. Concerning those that are asleep, sleep was always used by the Jews, the Greek, and any of the other religious entities to talk about death. So that you will not grieve like the rest who have no hope. I want you to understand that we grieve today, and that we should grieve, and that God wants us to grieve, but we don't grieve like the pagans. If you go outside these walls, people don't even believe in God. But in this church, I want to make something clear. God never promised us that everything that happened to us would be good, and he never promised us a bed of roses. But what he has promised us, unlike any other Greek god or any other god in the universe, is that he would be a suffering servant with us, and he would walk with us through the valley of the shadow of death. We have the only God in all the world that goes to hospitals. We have the only God and the only religion in the world. Hercules would never suffer. But our God, he suffers. And 1 Thessalonians 4 and 13 reminds us that we don't grieve like the pagans. Do we grieve for Whitney? Yes. Do we grieve for Ronnie? Yes. Do we grieve for Junior? Yes. Do we grieve for Ruthie that's not doing well? Yes. Do we grieve for Bob? Yes. Do we grieve with each other? Yes, we grieve with each other. But this is not the final say. If this is all that there is and there isn't any God, then why are we here? We are in a different place than the rest of the world today, is that they grieve and they say they were a good person, we'll never see them again. But when you're born again, that is not what you believe. When you're an evangelical Christian, even though the presidential candidates want to make fun of us in emails and the president wants to tell us how stupid we are to forgive someone, we are a different people, a peculiar people, a people called out of darkness into this marvelous light. And part of the theology of being in this marvelous light is that death, where is your sting, and grave, where is your victory? Because we serve a Savior that on the third day defeated death, hell, and the grave. And the book of Revelation chapter 18 and 1 Corinthians 15 says it will be the last enemy that he defeats in our and for our benefit in his name. So we do not grieve like the rest of the world. We shall see them again. It is not goodbye when they're born again. It is only good night. And we have a hope that the world doesn't have. We have a hope that the world doesn't understand today. If this is all there is, we're in trouble. If there's no God, there's no purpose to life. If there's no God, there's no resurrection. But the Bible says that we don't grieve like those without hope. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 17 says, "And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." And so I want you to understand it's peculiar to worship God in death. It is unnatural to the natural world. They don't understand us or what we really believe. And in a strange way, God says, encourage each other today, because this is not the final story. The final story didn't happen at Deaconess Hospital. The final story did not happen up here by Calhoun's on the road. The final story did not happen at Baptist Health last night around 7:30. Oh no, the final story is yet to be sung. The Bible says absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. I want you to hear me carefully. When Paul wrote these words to the book, to the people of Thessalonica, they did not believe in the afterlife the way we believe in it. As a matter of fact, they believed in the kind of afterlife that happened in shades. Shades in the afterlife was called Hades, hell. They did not believe that the body reconnected with the soul, and that when one was hurt in war, in the New Testament, the Roman army, their soul could seep out of their wombs. They did not believe that when you died, you went to a physical place with a physical body, that many times you were lost, and if you went into the afterworld, you could not find them because you did not know where they were. And the Apostle Paul says something. He says, you don't grieve like the pagans. We don't grieve and wonder where our loved ones are at. We know exactly where they're at. It was the Christians who said something different. He says, I promise you that when you die, your soul will go to heaven with your spirit and your body will remain in the grave. And then I'm going to have a resurrection because I was the first fruits of the resurrection. And because I resurrected first, the soul will come back into the body and you will have a resurrected, glorified body. You know what Jesus was saying? Life isn't going to end. I watched two people transition and was there as a family transitioned a loved one. I watched tears roll down Ronnie's face last night while the song Holy Ground played in the background. We're standing on holy ground. And I thought, God, I'd like to see what you're seeing right now. What are you seeing that we don't see? Because if you think this is all that there is, what a wretched fool you are. But we have a hope today that we will see our loved ones again. Can I get an amen? 2 Corinthians 5 and 10. Go there with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, starting at verse 1 to chapter 5. For we know that if our earthly house, our body, is a tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And in fact, we groan in this one, longing to put on our house from heaven, our body from heaven. Since we are clothed, we will not be found naked. Indeed, we who are in this tent groan. We who are in this body, we groan. burdened by this body, cancer and car wrecks and heart disease. We groan in this tent, burdened as we are, because we do not want to be unclothed, but clothed so that mortality may be swallowed up by life. And the one who prepared us for this very thing is God, who gave us the Spirit as a down payment. The one thing that we can say is that everyone that has passed on this week has been born again, and that they have had a deposit placed in them. Someone say amen. Now I want to talk about the elephant in the room real quick. We're living in a broken world, and things aren't right. They're off. The election is off. Everything's off. Just off. And we're living in a world full of suffering. But 1 Corinthians 15 and 26 says God has a plan, unlike any other religion, to come back and to do away with death. Death is the last enemy he will destroy for you. 1 Peter 4 and 12 and John 16 and 33 says, in this world you're going to have tribulations and trials that are going to try to break us. But Romans 8 and 22 says, even though these trials and these tribulations try to break us, the whole creation groans as in pain of childbirth in eager expectation for the Son of God to be revealed. The point is, we're not left comfortless this morning. Psalms 9 and 9 says, the Lord is our refuge for the oppressed and a stronghold in time of trouble. Psalms 22 and 24 says, for he has not despised or disdained the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help. Psalms 37 and 39 says, he is a stronghold in time of trouble. Psalms 57 and 1 said, be merciful to me, O God. O God, give me mercy to me right now. For in you are my soul, and in my soul I take refuge in you. In the shadow of your wings I will take refuge till the storm of destruction passes me by. I'm here to tell you that we have a place in which we can run, and the righteous are safe in it. I don't care whether you're at the coffin, whether you're at the hospital, whether the doctor has told you you got leukemia. I'm here to tell you it is not the final story. There is a God who sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believeth in him shall not perish, but have an everlasting life. I'm here to tell you that he defeated death, hell, and the grave. And when they get to heaven, they don't see demons. They see the word of God is said, prepare. Look what I prepared for them that love the Lord. Paul said, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for them that love him. This is not the final story. One good getting up morning when the dead in Christ shall rise, and those of us who remain shall be caught up. He will put an end to death. I hate death. I hate it. It is not my friend. I refuse to dress up and celebrate it on Halloween. It is our enemy. Oh, no, but thanks be unto God. I don't serve a God like Hercules that will not get his hands dirty. We do not serve a God like Zoe that would not come down to this earth and be with man, or Isis that wanted you to sacrifice yourself for your God. Oh no, we serve a suffering Savior who walks with us through the valley of the shadow of death, so that I shall fear no evil, for thy rod and thy staff comfort me. We serve a real God that doesn't run during trouble. We don't always understand him. Always know where he's at. I want you to listen to him and keep moving around to a minimum. I'm not going to ignore the elephant in the room right now. As I stood in that hospital room with Whitney Pinkerton, one of the sweetest, most positive people you'll ever meet in your life, and love God with all of her heart. And I watched Danny and his mother and father lift their hands up over her body and give God praise and worship him. I wanted to run into the corner and bawl like a 3-year-old. As a shepherd, I've been in that room many times. And when I have to go in that room, I know it's never good. I was in that room a couple of years ago with a woman that served God faithfully every week in this church. I left that room with vomit on my shirt and the stench of death. And I've never seen her again in this church. My fear in that room, when I watch people cry and they say, God, why? When I hear children at their father's feet say, we love you, Daddy. Why would God put this on me today? And I see a young man kneel with his mother and kiss his dad goodbye as he takes his last breath. My greatest fear as a shepherd isn't that people, the real danger and the fear isn't that they are going to come to believe that there isn't a God. My fear as a shepherd is that they're going to ask the wrong question and come to the wrong conclusion and say, so this is what God is really like. It's not that there's no God at all. It's the wrong question to say, this is what God is really like. When I don't need him, he's omnipresent. And when I need him, I can't find him. It's hard to understand God sometimes, trapped on this side. But suffering is everywhere, and it's unavoidable. But I found this poem from Edward Shalhoub. It puts it into perspective. It says, the other gods were strong, but thou was weak. The other gods, they rode, but thou didst stumble to the throne. But to our wounds, only God's wounds can speak. Not a God that has no wounds, but only you, thou alone. Only Jesus has wounds. They called him the suffering servant. They called him a man of sorrows. I think we like to skip past those verses to say that he suffers with us. I want you to understand that Whitney, Danny, Stevie, Vanessa, Junior, Ronnie, all had a God strong enough to voluntarily become weak and plunge himself into vulnerability and darkness out of nothing but simple love. God makes a promise in Isaiah 42. How many of you ever got to the place where you feel like God put more on you than you can handle? I've heard that 100 times this week. God, I can't take another thing. At 1:30 in the morning, I hear people cry out to God on the phone and they say, I can't take another day. I can't take another hour. Where is God, Michael? I've asked that question. I've had a brother thrown out of a car at 16 in 1993 and died tragically on the road of Sebree and Highway 41. I asked that. And I've grown to understand that God was under the car. I would have liked for him to have been right here, like you, like Danny. But I've learned that God is much more involved than a bystander. That he was, when I preach and we clap and yell and shout and say he's a very present help in time of need, he has been. He's been a comforter. He stick closer than a brother. And at funerals, if you've never been through anything, do me a favor. Keep your mouth shut and just say, I love you and be present. But if you've been through something, it is time for you to minister this week into this body, because we're all one. And I looked at a mom and a dad and told them their daughter had just died with daddy. They all say the same thing. Oh God, no. Then they say the second thing, all of them, this can't be real. It is so hard with such junky theology on television to understand true maturity here. It's not that we are immune to suffering as Christians. I don't mean to be disrespectful, but I hate hyperfaith. And the reason I hate it, because it's cruel. The reason I hate it is because it's not true. The reason I hate it is because if everyone gets healed, there's no penalty for depravity. And so we focus on making this world better. In reality, God says, I'll be with you through this suffering in this broken world. If you'll hold me tight and keep me, I'll be a stronghold for you, like a mother's wings covering her chicks. If you will praise me when you do not understand me, I will be there as strong as you've ever seen me in your life. I cannot promise you that the sickness of this earth through the depravity of man and sin who has destroyed God's original plan is somehow going to be washed away by the clicking of your heels. But what I can promise you is that I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. And what I will promise you is that if I go away, I go away to prepare a place for you. And if it were not true, I would have told you so. What I can tell you is that there will be no sting to death. Will there be weeping to death? Absolutely. Will there be cringing at the grave? Absolutely. Will there be a sense of sorrow? Absolutely. But you will be able to cry as the child of God, death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? Because this is not the final say-so. This is not where it ends. Satan will not have the last laugh. He will not have the last say-so. As a matter of fact, he has no say-so. When you're a child of man, I held the keys to death, hell, and the grave in my hands. Now the logical question is, God, why don't you use them? The reasonable answer is that he doesn't always use them in every situation, because there'd be no penalty for depravity. But the Christian God is the only God that promises the rest of the story. He says, I'm going to come back to this earth, and I'm coming. Look at Revelations 18 and 1. I'm coming with keys. I'm coming with the keys to what? To death, hell, and the grave. You see, when he came the first time, he came on a donkey. He died and rose again on the third day. He defeated death, hell, and the grave and took the keys. Why? Because depravity entered into the world in Genesis 1, and through one man's sin, all corruption happened. And so God isn't finished. This is not all that there is. There is another world that is more real. It's not colored in shades for you Greeks. It's covered in reality. Let me tell you something. I want to tell you something very clearly. The ones that have passed on are more alive right now than anyone in this room. It's either a lie or it's true. God makes a promise in Isaiah 42 and 3. It says, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not suffer, until in faithfulness he brings forth justice. Do you realize that God sees the death of your father, Stevie, as an injustice? Danny, when you listen to this sermon, God sees the death of Whitney as an injustice. He sees the death, Vanessa, when you listen to this, of Ronnie, a good, godly man that I can never remember sitting in a seat in 17 years. Folks, I want to try to lighten the mood up a little bit, and please don't judge me harshly for what I'm about to say. It's just kind of funny. after being around enough of grief to kill a horse, I looked up to God driving, I was driving somewhere else to another emergency. And I said, God, why do you have to take the good ones? I said, I could have given you a list. None of you were in it, of course. Steve, you're here today, so listen to me, son. Isaiah 42 and 3 says, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoting wick he will not suffer. The word bruise there means not a minor injury, but it's actually the Hebrew word for a contusion that leads to a fatal blow in your life. When it talks about a bruised reed, it's talking about a grain that has not been broken off, but has been broken and will not stand up and is irreversibly uncorrectable. I have heard it a dozen times. God, I can't take no more. As a shepherd, my heart breaks because I know the danger of saying, not that there's no God, but oh, so this is what he's really like. The truth is that God promises you when you're in the midst of a storm and you cry out to God, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, the day that God forsook God. And you look at your cup in your Garden of Gethsemane. You say to God, let this cup pass before me. I don't want to drink it. Let it pass. Take the cancer away. God, heal his heart. God, stop the car. I don't want to drink it. This can't be real. There's a level of maturity and disparity that we don't understand that says, not thy will, but thine be done. I've never been more proud of Danny Pinkerton in my whole life. Because as a shepherd, I stood and I prayed as hard as I can pray, God, strengthen him now. Strengthen him now. And you lift your hands in the midnight hour. And through snot and tears, you say goodbye to a loved one. With a hope that you do not grieve like the rest of the world, but you that you shall see them again. And you praise him. Though he slay you. You know, Luke tells this funny story about the disciples. They're on this boat. And a storm comes up. The Greek actually says a white squall. It's the worst kind of storm you can find on the sea. And his disciples are panicking. And it says something I've never noticed. Jeremy, come on up. In the storm, Jesus was asleep. Can I ask you a question? Have you ever felt like Jesus went to sleep on you? That's what I love about this church. We can ask questions like that and not get fearful of lightning striking us. But there's another question that comes with, have you ever felt like God fell asleep on you? is, has a storm ever woke you up? They came to Jesus and they said, Master, Master, we're going to die. We're being swamped. Here's the Greek. And then we're in danger. And when a fisherman tells you we're being swamped and we're in danger, verse 23 of Luke chapter 8, there's a problem. Now hear me carefully. Many times worship seems out of order at the moment of death. But you need to know that there's not a problem, or that the problem you're facing is not an indictment against the intensity of your worship. Let's take Jesus in John 11, and his best friend has died, and Mary and Martha comes to him. But listen to me carefully. She stands in a wait because he's late. She says, had you been here, he wouldn't have died. I can understand God not calling me back. I just can't understand God not calling me back when it's an emergency. Mary and Martha looked up at him and said, where were you? Underneath that story is something unbelievably beautiful, because the last time Jesus approached Mary and Martha, she had an alabaster box in her hand. And she broke it over her head, perfume. But this time there was no perfume waiting on Jesus. There was no alabaster box anywhere near the body of Christ. She didn't bend down when she saw him and take her hair and wash his feet. No, she said, where were you? You know, when you struggle with wondering where God is and why he hasn't heard you, you say things like, God, you could have at least spoke the word and it would have healed them. God, you could have at least sent doubting Thomas, but you didn't even show up and you didn't even send no one by. Everyone in here, go to Matthew chapter 11, verse 6, because if you don't need it today, you're going to need it later. John the Baptist, who came out of the wilderness with locusts and honey, said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Is sitting in prison preparing to be beheaded. And he looks outside his cell, and the disciples of Jesus are around them. And he calls for his disciples and he said, go to Jesus and ask him, is he the Messiah, or should I begin to look for another? I'm sure the disciples of John sheepishly walked up to Jesus and said, we don't know how to ask you this. I don't really know how to tell you this, but one of the greatest in the kingdom is sitting in a jail hell getting ready to die, being tortured. And he wants me to ask you a question. Master Rabboni, he says to you, are you the Messiah, or should I look for another? The scripture doesn't say this, but I think Jesus kind of had that smile that was so full of compassion. It said, you go tell John. The lame walk, the dead are raised, the blind see. And make sure you don't forget this part. When you saw John the Baptist, what did you see? Did you see a reed shaken in the wind? In other words, here today and gone tomorrow? Oh no. What you saw was a prophet, and more than a prophet. Go tell John, blessed is the man that is not offended in me. We've got body work to do. Let me make something clear as a close. Do you know where all of our loved ones, what they've went through in the last couple of days according to the scripture? The scriptures say that when a believer dies, Junior, Whitney, baby Pinkerton, Ronnie Riggs, when a believer dies, I was there. I watched tears roll down, one tear roll down Ronnie's face as Holy Ground played in the background. And I thought, my God, I'd love to see what he's seeing right now. I watched Junior reach out as if someone was in the room. I saw Junior say to his family, I heard he say to his family when he left to the hospital, he said, I won't be back. I watched Ronnie Riggs tell me yesterday, I'm going home today. You're going what? I'm going home today. Why? He says, because I see angels in the room. He said, I'm going home. I thought cancer has hit his brain. No, he went home. Because you listen to me. This is not all that there is. There is a God in heaven that loves you so much that he's not only sent his only begotten son so that you would have a way of salvation and life more abundantly on this earth. But he's also finished the last death, the last enemy, which is death, and he's defeated death, hell, and the grave. So I guarantee you I know what happened according to scriptures. When Whitney left this world, there were two angels that reached out and said, come, the master awaits. When Ronnie breathed his last breath, they said, come, the master awaits. When Junior closed his eyes, the angels of the Lord said, here we are, come, the master awaits. It is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. Absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. And the Bible says the apostle Paul was in the spirit, and on the spirit on the third day he was lifted up to the third heaven. And if there's a third heaven, there's a first heaven and there's a second heaven. And angels took our loved ones by the hands and they said, come, the master awaits. They left this world. They left the oxygen tank. They left the car crash. They left cancer behind. They left heart disease behind. They left hospice behind. They left wonderful nurses behind. The family cried. People mourned and wailed from their loss. But as they look back on this world, they entered into the second heaven. And according to Job chapter 6 and Ephesians, Job chapter 1 and Ephesians chapter 6, that is where the throne of Satan sits. And when Whitney and baby Pinkerton and Ronnie Riggs and Uncle Junior got to the third heaven or the second heaven, every devil and demon in hell began to scream, get back, get back, get back. You can't touch these four. They're covered by the blood of the Lamb. Somebody give God a hand clap of praise for hope. We do not grieve without hope. It is not goodbye, it is only good night. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy is going to come in the morning. I'll give God a hand of praise. Give him a hand of praise. Give him a hand of praise. Give him a hand of praise. When I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man, John said. And he laid his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid, Junior. Do not be afraid, Whitney. Baby Pinkerton, Ronnie, do not be afraid. For I am the first and I am the last and I am the living one. I was dead, but look, I'm alive forevermore. And I hold the keys to death, hell, and the grave. Therefore, write what you've seen for what will take place after this. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea existed no longer. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared like a bride adorned for her husband. Then I heard a loud voice from the throne of God say, look, God's dwelling is with men. And he will be with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them and be with their God. He shall wipe every tear from their eyes. And death will exist no longer. No more grief, no more crying, no more pain will ever exist. Hallelujah! Ever again. Because the former things, this world is not my home. We are pilgrims passing through. We are peculiar people. A people called out of darkness.
a people with hope in the midst of death. We are a peculiar people, called out of darkness into this marvelous light. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Who rules and reigns forever. Because the previous things have passed away. Junior, Whitney, Baby Pinkerton, Ronnie. Look, I've made everything new. I've been faithful and true. The first thing they saw when I got to heaven is the nail-scarred hand of a Nazarene that reached out and wiped every tear from their eyes. Not in a world of shades like the Greeks, but where the soul and the spirit stay until the resurrection of the dead. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Thessalonians 7. We have a hope. Unlike people who grieve without hope, that he's coming back to solidify the last problem we all face. Grief, pain, death, and hell. And he says, in a twinkling of an eye, the dead are going to come up, because the body and the soul and the spirit are going to be reunited. Go slow here. Don't miss what I'm trying to show you. And then the body and the soul and the spirit are going to come up in a glorified body. And God was telling every Greek and every Jew, death to a Christian is not full of shades. It's life and life more abundantly. It's a city where there's people. It's more real than anything going on around here. And I'm convinced that our loved ones who went on to be with Jesus this week are more alive right now than anyone in the building. So what do? We comfort one another with these words. I love you. Here's a pie. Everyone that's experienced tragedy, please lift your hands. You have a job to do. So what do you think God meant when he said, no matter what the enemy does for you or to you, he will turn it around for your good? He wants to use you this week. Not with words necessarily, but love and presence. Presence. I want every elder and every deacon and every prayer warrior to come quickly and stand right here. How many of you are behind me? We're going to march as one body this week in love like no one's ever been loved before. Can I see your hands? Can I see your hands? If you are hurting and you need prayer, I'm going to count to three and I want you to come and someone's going to agree with you in prayer.
Your praise will never be on my lips.
Will you not grieve like those that grieve with no hope? One, two, three. Would you come?
Your praise will never be on my lips. Ever be on my lips, your praise will ever be on my lips. Ever be on my lips, your praise will ever be on my lips. Ever be on my lips, your praise will ever be on my lips. Ever be on my lips.
For those of you that are still out there, lift your hands and ask God to touch our loved ones today that are hurting.
Your praise will.
Father, we call out Danny Pinkerton to you today.
Ever be on my lips. Your praise will.
And Whitney's mom and dad.
Ever be on my lips.
Whitney's sister.
Ever be on my lips. Your praise will.
We call out Junior Dummies.
On my lips. Ever be on my lips, your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips, your praise will ever be on my lips. You will be praising, you will be praising.
be praised. With angels and saints we sing, worthy are you, Lord. You will be praised. You will be praised. With angels and saints.
Tempest that can flood the soul. When trouble pounds like crashing waves, in these afflictions I have realized there's a place that I can hide. I know that God has promised me His strength, and I know that His word can never fail. He is faithful, oh, so faithful. There are sovereign hands holding all my days. Yes, I know God reigns in the storm. Every trial and pain, wisdom has ordained. Yes, I know God reigns in the storm. There's a midnight that can fill the soul when the darkness knows no end. And though it feels like I am all alone, there's truth that gives me hope again. I know the one who counted all my tears, and He is nearer than my breath. He is with me, always with me. There's so many things that I do not understand, but I know His every plan is good for me, so good. He reigns. When mountains fall and waters rise, come hide yourself in me. The one whose voice commands the world still knows your every need. Come now and wait on me, the Lord says. Draw near to me and rest. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. When darkness falls and sorrows rise, remember who I am. The one who dwells in eternity still comforts His own child. Come near. Come near, come now and look to me, saith the Lord. Draw near and find your hope in me. When darkness falls and sorrows rise, remember who I am. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Ghost, let this church arise and go in love in abundance. Let this church hug. Let it weep with those that weep. Let it cry with those that cry.
Let it go and minister through the hands that have been ministered to by God Himself in our own lives. Tell our stories. Encourage our people. Let us become one in the midst of the suffering. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen.
We pray that you were blessed by this message. For more information about Covenant Community Church, please contact us at media@covenantcc.net or visit us online at covenantcc.net.